here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Brian McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, December 15th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. But this week, we should actually be saying the biggest story, not plural, because we will be deviating from our traditional structure just a bit to talk about a major deal that just went down.
Yeah, that's right, Maddie. After weeks of speculation and rumors, Disney's deal to buy some of 21st Century Fox's most valuable assets was made official on Thursday. Disney is shelling out $52.4 billion in stock to complete the deal, and including the debt that Disney is taking on, the deal is worth about $66.1 billion, so it is quite the big one.
Yeah, for that price, Disney is going to receive 20th Century Fox Television, Phillips Studios, FX Networks, National Geographic, Fox Sports Regional Networks are getting Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fox Sports Regional Networks. So we're going to dig into the difference there in a little bit.
Interesting.
But
okay.
The regional networks are the Fox Sports Chicago, Fox Sports Detroit, that cover the local teams associated with the cities.
They're also getting Fox Networks Group International, Star India, Sky, which is big over in Europe, and Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, which now gives it a controlling stake in the streaming company.
Yeah, so notably left out of the deal are Fox News, a little news media company. I don't know if you have heard of it. Fox Business, the main Fox broadcasting network, and 21st Century Fox's popular cable sports channels. So that's Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2 and the Big Ten Network. Again, just to reiterate, there is a difference between those Fox Sports channels and the regional networks, which we'll dig into a little bit more. The deal with the regional networks, really a doubling down on live sports, especially on a local level. So that's definitely an interesting thing to note there. Fox, it looks like, is going to retain these assets in a newly listed company, which is then going to be spun off to its current shareholders.
Yes, yeah, so definitely a ton to digest here. We're going to go through this deal piece by piece. Let's dig into the most important elements, like Marvel.
Yeah, we're going to nerd out first. I think get it out of the way first. Disney, which of course famously acquired Marvel Comics in 2009, will now be able to merge Fox's lingering Marvel assets, which include X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Deadpool, with its own widely popular and revenue-generating Marvel Cinematic Universe. So just the way licensing and content deals had worked out over the years, 21st Century Fox like weirdly ended up with the rights to a few traditional Marvel characters. And so now the superhero fans of the world are rejoicing because finally Disney will be able to complete its Marvel Cinematic Universe. For those that don't know, you definitely know it's happening, whether or not you are fully aware of the whole plan of the MCU. But it really started back even before the Disney acquired Marvel. The first Iron Man movie in 2008 was the first film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that was Phase 1. It's been playing out in several different phases with some future phases still to get to. Phase 1 ended with the first Avengers movie in 2012, and then Phase 2 began with Iron Man 3 in 2013, and then Phase 2 was over with Ant-Man. That was a 2015 film. That was Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
That was an interesting one. And one that I would note probably doesn't get the green light unless Disney buys Marvel and kind of has the ability to throw cash at a movie like Ant-Man that I think Marvel's standalone studio maybe would have thought was too risky.
I think there's a sequel coming out next year.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
Phase 3
made
then
enough money at the box office.
Yeah, I guess. That Paul Rudd. He's a real...
such a leading man.
Yeah. Box office. Very popular at the box office, Paul Rudd. Phase 3 was Captain America Civil War, which was kind of another Avengers movie in a way. That came out in 2016. And then that really was the start of this current phase of movies that we're in right now. Outside of theaters, there's also been some expansion into the television world. So Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is on ABC, was on ABC 2013-2014 television season. That counts in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Daredevil on Netflix, which started in 2015, and Runaways on Hulu, which started this year. Those all count as Marvel Cinematic Universe films. And we say universe because it kind of all, that means they're all kind of playing out on the same earth. So the characters, they appear in each other's movies, and the things that they do in movie A have consequences in movie B, maybe even if those characters don't reappear. So it's a whole big thing, and it's been really exciting for superhero fans, comic book fans, because as mentioned, Disney has the ability to throw cash at some of the more risky franchises and where it might have not gotten the green light in the past, and you know, tying it all together in a huge franchise, like one of the biggest movie franchises ever. There have been 17 movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far, and they have grossed a whopping $13 billion worldwide, which is crazy. That's just a little bit under $1 billion a movie, which if you break it down like that is totally insane. I would also note that there's been some incredibly amazing X-Men movies over the years. And Deadpool, of course, was kind of like cemented itself into instant cult classic status. But there hasn't been a great, critically well-received and did well at the box office Fantastic Four movie probably ever. There's been some serious duds, actually, with that franchise. So it'll be interesting to see if and when Disney picks that up, what direction they go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We have Black Panther coming out in March. We have Avengers 20 coming out in May. That's not even the last one. It's like second to last one.
Right.
But it's Captain America's last one, I think. And Chris Evans, I mean, too bad because he's looking smoking in this trailer.
Well, he'll wipe the tears with his $100 bill stuff.
That's so true. I mean, his hair is like longer. He has a beard. I mean, just like when did he like, he just got like hot. Like, I mean, he was always like very beautiful.
It's that Disney money.
In like all of his other Captain America movies. But like, he is like rugged. And I don't know. It's just like, you look like this in your last one. Figures.
It's that Disney money, I'm saying. It changes a person. We've talked about money changes you on the show. Jeff Bezos is like ripped and handsome now. He used to be
still bald, but
back in 1999, he was just a frail little bookseller. So, money will change you. So maybe money will change these remaining Marvel assets. You have to think Disney did mention it when talking about the deal, and you have to think that'll be a priority heading forward. I guess the real question now is like, how soon do they just like toss one? They love to do this thing where someone's name will be mentioned in a movie, or there'll be like a really quick cameo, or they'll do an after credits scene or something like that to tease the next movie.
Yeah.
And something like that, I feel like you could whip up relatively quickly and just get everybody really excited, and it kind of just hypes itself up.
Yeah. Do you think we're ever going to get sick of these superhero movies?
I don't know. Sometimes I wish there was a camera in the office, because when you were talking about in the podcast video, because when you were talking about Marvel's like whatever Avengers number 3 or 4 or whatever,
I think
it is
3.
But like I said, the Winter or the Civil War one was kind of an Avengers movie.
It was
basically
like 2.5.
So you kind of rolled your eyes because it's like, how many damn Avengers movies do we need? But it's going to absolutely crush at the box office.
Sure.
They always do.
But it's like, you look at Pirates of the Caribbean, and they're not going to stop making them.
Yeah, and those ones do so good worldwide.
With the international box office numbers. Like, I don't know why. They love them.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay. But like, how many, like, what kind? I guess, like, there are, like, there is a ton of material to go off, or like stories and like scripts, But I mean, they all are the same.
It's a superhero movie at the end of the day.
At the end of the day. Formulaic. And I don't care how good Thor was. It was amazing, sure. Chris Hemsworth, so funny.
Yeah.
His Tessa Thompson, I think that was like his like main like female, the heroine, like his main like, I don't know, combat person. So great. The Hulk, like Mark Ruffalo, fantastic. But at the end of the day, like sometimes I want more.
Well, maybe Disney was starting to get a sense that there was a limit to what they could squeeze out of what they have right now in the Marvel Universe. And they went in and picked up three major comic book franchises.
But it's so, still a comic book.
Right, sure. And
but I will
series
say...
Series that we've seen movies from recently. So it's not like, we need an X-Men
movie. I want
movie,
more though. Movies. Like I would 100% go see more comic book movies like Logan and Deadpool. Like Deadpool was the one of my favorite movies of last year.
But unfortunately, like Deadpool was rated R, and that was kind of the cool thing about it. And Disney doesn't throw a ton of money at rated R movies all the time, so maybe
that's not a good thing. Just needs, I don't know, but I know
we could write him a letter. We could write them a letter.
But like Logan, I mean Logan,
great
could
movie.
Win an
objectively
Oscar.
Good movie. Yeah,
so. It won't. But I mean, another movie like that has the potential to win an Oscar.
So some serious ramifications for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and therefore box offices worldwide over the next, decade, really, before we even have to start.
Really, the next 100 years.
Yes, it's never ending.
Plus, they have Star Wars. Good Lord.
That is one part of this deal. Moving on to the next part of this deal, also going to have serious ramifications for the video streaming industry.
Yes, streaming. Yes. So the deal also gives Disney greater leverage when it tries to roll out its over-the-top direct-to-consumer video streaming service in the next few years. Plus, Disney's going to have a controlling stake in Hulu, and this gives the company ownership of one of the hottest video streaming companies in the world. Are you a Hulu subscriber?
I used to use it a lot when it was just free, and then you did the commercials and you watched like day-old TV shows.
Yeah.
But I have not subscribed to the new pay-to-play one that they just rolled out recently.
Well, so I'm a Hulu subscriber, and I pay like $8 a month. Still for day-old TV. I don't know if you can actually... I don't know if there's a free version anymore of Hulu.
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure.
But it's like commercials, and I watch all of... Since I don't have cable, that's really how I watch all of my cable shows, mm-hmm. which is This Is Us. Amazing. Sterling K. Brown. Sent from God.
Which is kind of what makes it unique over the Netflixes and Amazon Prime.
Right.
Is that you get that day old TV.
Right. And that's The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, that is the platform, and that just won. That was the first streaming platform that won the Emmy for the best drama series.
Yeah, describing it as one of the hottest video streaming companies in the world is very true, because I mean, it's a saturated market for sure, but Hulu has the fans, those shows are attracting a lot of diehard fans. It's becoming a real binge watching sensation, but they're also winning. They're going out and winning Emmys and stuff. So it's critically successful.
And then
as well.
It has their $40 a month live TV option, which I kind of might do one day.
Yeah.
Competitive
in the world of how much you pay for cable typically.
Right. So a standalone streaming service that combines... So what Disney hopes to do is they hope to have a standalone streaming service that combines all of Disney's and Fox's movies and TV shows that stands a much better chance of attracting subscribers than an only Disney platform. Like, sure, I love Pixar, mm-hmm. and I love Aladdin and mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast, but I'm okay.
Yeah, you already pay for it. Do you have Netflix too?
I have Netflix, I have HBO,
Hulu,
and I have Starz.
And
right now, because hashtag Outlander.
Well?
I am a Prime member, which I'm pretty sure my credit card's going to get charged that $99 fee anytime.
You save the $20 or whatever because you pay all at once instead of month by month. So that's a good deal.
What?
You just got to let that happen. They let you pay month by month now if you'd rather do that, but it's cheaper to get the whole year at once.
Oh, I've been like a year ever, like for years now.
Right. That was the only way you could do it originally. But now they let you go month by month. Fun fact, in case you want to change, but you save money. It's like save $20.
Yeah. So that $99 charge is like going to hit me soon. Anyways, but yes, I'm Prime Video. So like those five.
And so how many video streaming services could you possibly need is what we're getting to at this point, right?
Yeah. So like a Disney only one, like I'm good. I right. don't want that.
But now Disney and Fox.
Yeah, probably not going to do that.
They're hoping... They're
probably not.
They're hoping people don't have that opinion though.
I mean, probably.
At least some folks.
Because I'm still... milking my parents' cable subscription.
There you go.
To watch FX.
That's what you got to do.
Because I'm not going to pay $10 to do that. I mean, unless my parents are like, no, you can't use ours anymore.
We're cutting the cord too. Which is what it's getting to almost at this point, yeah. right?
That's, my parents have Charter Spectrum, which is like the only only cable provider that they can get in mm-hmm. where they live.
Part of the problem,
right? They're not able to choose, right?
Right.
If they could, maybe they would switch to Comcast or RCN, but sure. it's just Charter.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know why they did that. I should look into that.
It's the telecom industry kind of did it to itself.
I guess.
And it's been really a big, as you said, part of the problem in that, you know, people were faced with this one cable option or no cable. And
right.
I'll just do Netflix and Hulu and make do. And that trend, but which we've been talking about for years.
But again, like you're still not, you can't completely disregard the cable companies because they're still your internet companies.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to pay like a huge chunk of money a month to Comcast or RCN for your internet.
And side note, big news on that this week, which
net
you haven't
neutrality.
Even touched on.
It would have been kind of a more depressing.
Yeah, we didn't want to be upset on the episode.
No. I guess not depressing, but like it would have been boring. Not boring, but like breaking it down, like, you know.
Yeah, we had, it's more fun to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe than
telecom industry politics.
Yeah.
Chris Evans looks.
Yeah. But yeah, side note, the FCC did controversially vote along party lines to overturn.
But again,
neutrality.
It'll take months for that to even take effect.
Yeah,
it's not like tomorrow we're going to wake up and be like, oh my God, why is Netflix so slow?
Yeah, the internet's different now.
The internet is different.
Not
how
it works.
No, it'll take months, but one day.
Years, probably.
Yeah, years, because then people will probably
sue,
all of that.
Slow burning process, definitely.
Anyways, back to Disney and its streaming services. So we know that Disney is planning to launch an ESPN service next year with a full Disney service coming in, Disney/Fox service coming in 2019. We also know that the company recently acquired BAM Tech to help build out the technology for the service. And Disney is planning to remove its content from Netflix and other competitors in the run-up to its own service launching, which is not new news. So I guess brace yourself if you're like, really want to watch all my Pixar movies on Netflix. Can't anymore.
Figure it out.
Maybe get them on Amazon.
Yeah. Just make the switch over to this new Disney service once it comes out, I guess.
You know, but we're not, you know, advocating for the Disney service by any means.
Sure.
We're just...
Yeah. You know. I mean, it's now you're faced with... it's going to be a legitimate question. And then you think about... it will almost definitely turn into, we have exclusive shows on this service as well. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't join that trend.
Right. Will it be available on Roku?
How much is it going to cost?
Will it be available only on Apple TV? Like,
yeah.
Those are other two questions that I don't think they've answered either.
Yeah, I don't think we know a price point either.
Yeah.
I would like to know what it's going to be called.
Yeah.
Just, that doesn't really matter at all, but like Disney Now or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the HBO already has now.
Yeah.
Oh man, so many questions. All we know is that it's going to have some new Marvel characters in it. So
very true.
Still so curious.
But moving on to
sports. Everybody's your favorite, I can tell.
My favorite. Well, you know, I guess like... You know, I care when I care.
Yeah. Well, from this perspective, we all have to care because of how big of a deal ESPN is for Disney as a company. The struggles of the flagship sports network have been well documented. We've covered it on the show. We cover it on the show basically every time Disney reports earnings and we get the latest updates on how ESPN and the other media network entities are doing. I think that the struggles, there's plenty of reasons to criticize ESPN for, like I said, plenty of reasons, a failure to effectively adapt to changing trends in the sports world, a reliance on a small amount of talent, but large, large overhead costs, kind of a failure to connect with younger audiences, lots of different things. ESPN has been forced to cut hundreds of jobs this year, top on-air talent as well as kind of newsroom people. For all of the failures and bad decision-making that ESPN has had, we can also kind of just peg this on the cord-cutting shift as well. So if you cancel your cable network, your cable subscription, you're obviously not going to be watching ESPN anymore, which is kind of for the longest time been that for a lot of people, the reason to not cut the cord is you lose a lot of live sports. Still, I think you're really seeing Disney banking on the fact that live sports are always going to be an attraction. So we touched on some of this earlier, but as a part of the deal, Disney acquires Fox's ownership of the UK-based Sky TV and Sky Sports. Sky Sports is basically the equivalent of ESPN, but in the UK. And so this part of the acquisition gives Disney ESPN the rights to the English Premier League in the UK. So that's one of the most watched and valuable soccer leagues in the world. Disney also gets Star India. And so now it really has a massive TV presence in one of the world's fastest growing and already largest economies. And then within Star India, you get Star Sports, which is 10 different channels and holds the right to the upcoming Olympics, as well as the massively popular Indian soccer and cricket leagues. So from that perspective, a massive investment in international sports. We as Americans probably not going to understand the full impact of the Indian Premier Cricket League on Disney's bottom line, but I can tell you right now, cricket and the Premier Cricket League, very, very popular in India and will be a big revenue generator for Disney. Bringing things back home to something maybe we do know a little bit more about, Fox's 22 regional sports networks in the United States are now going over to Disney. And that is what we were talking about at the intro of the show, a little bit different than Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, but the Fox Sports Chicago or Fox Sports Detroit or Fox Sports New York, the local regional channels that cover sports in the area. So they have deals with the NBA, MLB, NHL, and MLS, as well as several college conferences. So they cover live sports and highlights from the teams that are playing in the cities that are near you. And interestingly enough, we have seen these regional sports networks emerge as kind of the lifeline in the live sports media industry. These remain really, really popular with viewers, even as the kind of national networks like ESPN have struggled. Based on a 2016 Nielsen survey, sports fans ranked RSN, so the regional sports networks, ahead of all other cable channels, including ESPN and HBO, in terms of their importance, which I think if you don't watch the regional sports networks a ton, seems like strange because it's just that spot, that channel you click past because it's playing the Division V high school football championship for your state and kind of is irrelevant.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Was this survey taken when Game of Thrones was on?
I would assume so. 2016, yeah.
But I mean, like, when Game of Thrones was, like, airing.
Oh, I'm not sure exactly what.
Because I feel like that would.
Time of the year.
Like, maybe bump HBO up a little bit.
I think just the issue.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I actually did not get the sarcasm. I was like, Game of Thrones is that big. I've been thinking about it now. Would I want my local Fox channel or HBO?
I would want HBO over my local Fox channel, clearly. But yeah, I was just, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. The sarcasm missed me a little bit because that's how highly I think of Game of Thrones. So, but yeah, so this is, like I said, everything from your high school football championship game, the one high school football game a year that's going to get on TV, to, you know, if you live near a big city that has a NBA team, NHL team, it's going to be like all of the games for that team.
And I guess that makes sense.
So these are, you know, really looking at it, does make sense that people have such a connection to these channels because it's their teams that they're diehard fans of. Mm-hmm. And the announcers are the local announcers who are basically cheering for the team that you're watching. So you're getting like the home bias on the announcing and all the coverage outside of the games of the teams that you love. It's where you go for all of your you know, inside the locker room information. And yeah, these are really, really powerful forces in the live sports world. And again, we saw the international investment here on a very local level, investing in live sports and kind of pushing the chips all the way into the middle of the table and saying live sports coverage is not going to die anytime soon. And just
thanks to Mickey Mouse.
I guess so. If you look at the way the numbers work out too, the regional channels are worth about a third of the total value of the deal. So going back to that $52.4 billion in stock, it's worth $66.1 billion with the debt that Disney is taking on. A third of that is the Fox Sports regional networks. So that is the power that they played in this. So now let's recap a little bit. We got Marvel Cinematic Universe going to feel the effects. The video streaming world going to feel the effects. I think if you're Reed Hastings and Netflix, you're not in love with this deal. And the live sports world definitely going to feel the effects. And I think now the real question is, are the regulators going to let it go through in the way that it's,
yeah,
it is
like
right
it sounds
now?
Nice on paper, but I mean,
yeah,
is Disney like, who's gonna sue who?
Yeah,
now,
exactly,
that's the real question.
So we obviously have seen already our fair share of media consolidation deals struggle to get approved. That'll be the next hurdle.
And I think we thought Amazon was taking over the world, like, really. I think
here comes Disney. So that'll be the next thing to look for, and the more we learn about the regulatory approval process, we will certainly cover it on the show. That just about does it for us this week. Feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. And remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.